first off, Joe Rogan, let's play this clip. He kind of predicted that this would happen. Let's play this clip of Joe Rogan.
I talked to a fireman once. This is one of the reasons it freaked me out. And he was telling me, he goes, dude, one day, he goes, it's just going to be the right wind and fire's going to start in the right place and it's going to burn through LA all the way to the ocean. And there's not a fucking thing we can do about it. I go, really? He goes, yeah, we just get lucky. He goes, we get lucky with the wind. Jesus, he goes, but if the wind hits the wrong way, it's just going to burn straight through LA and there's not going to be a thing we can do about it. Because these fires are so big, dude. When you're talking about like thousands of acres that are burning simultaneously with like 40 mile an hour winds, and the wind's just blowing embers through the air, and those embers are landing on roofs, and those houses are going up, and they're landing on bushes, and those bushes are going up, and everything's dry. And once it happens in a way where it's so spread out that there's nothing they can do. There's nothing they can do.
Yeah, you just have to evacuate, right?
Nothing.
Okay. So, you know, Joe, and he's not the only one, by the way.
Yeah, he's not.
Because, you know, LA, I mean, to put it in perspective, LA does catch fire pretty regularly. Not to this extent. LA does have a water shortage. It's had a water shortage for a long time. LA does have climates where for a long periods of time it does not rain sometimes. So all of that is a recipe for disaster, right? I mean, you don't have to be a deep level conspiracy theorist to kind of figure that part out. So what's your thoughts on this?
While I agree, you don't have to be a conspiracy theorist to know that the probability of this would happen again sometime soon. The magnitude of the fire is the thing that is concerning. Gavin Newsom, you're done. I told the Democrats last year, and I know y'all got mad. Who's the next Democratic superstar? Everyone said Gavin. With a blunder this big, it's not going to happen. The reservoir being offline is an issue. I've talked to probably in Stock Club, probably 20 or 30 people who live in LA, who are natives of LA or the Valley. They're like, I've never seen anything remotely close to this. Like, this is like 6 or 7 different fires that have taken place. I know the actor Brian White, shout to him, friend of the show. He caught an arsonist by his home. So, was part of it natural? Yes. The part that I'm concerned about is the lack of preparation, the lack of planning. Even the mayor, I don't want to pile on her because everyone has, but once you hear a tragedy is set to hit, you can't remain in Ghana while you are a governor or a mayor of a city that needs protection. So I don't want to go deep down a conspiracy rabbit hole, but my first thought, and we got the guest on Monday, with the introduction of smart cities and the Olympics in 2028, how much of this was a planned destruction? On the 30th of December, you go to my Twitter, I put an image up literally of a burning building. I did not know it was going to be LA. But one of my big things for 24 was going to be the destruction of a city through fire. So if I knew at whatever little level I'm at in the world ecosystem, how did they not know? And was this planned by design or orchestrated or mismanagement? So I think
it's one of these things, right? Where, okay.
Let's be reasonable. You're right.
Let's be reasonable. Yep. Let's be reasonable.
Listen, the line for you is, you know how Ian get. Go ahead. I got you.
There's a difference between mismanagement and an intentionality. Now you might be able to, you know, say, okay, this was probably a mismanaged situation.
Yes.
I think it'll be difficult to prove at this point that it was done intentionally.
Those are the best types of disasters to create. So if I go to your house and I fall asleep and I'm cooking a grilled cheese, right? And I fall asleep listening to last week's blackout and the first floor of your house burned down. I didn't do it on purpose, but the damage is there. You're seeing entire communities go up. Altadena, we talked about it on Monday. but the density of that community. I talked to Melissa Ford, who lived in LA for a long time. This is like the equivalent of Manhattan burning down. What's the, like, and so everybody on Stock Club, I told maybe 3 months ago, one of my favorite models for looking at probabilities is Gaussian plume modeling. So you can import a set of data over the last 300 years and see what the anomalies are and certain events happening, like bioweapon attacks and terror attacks and fires and et cetera. This is an anomaly that has not happened for the last 300 years. So do I think the Bilderberg group sat in a building on a Friday and said, let's burn LA down? No. But if I burn down 4 houses in the community, I would be charged and I would have restitution. I don't know how companies are not responsible. And my second thought was, how many of the banks that were going under in California that were small banks held these properties on their books? I always want to go to the money. Shout out to all the people we do business with. This is a drunken rant sponsored by Ducey or whoever if I get in trouble. But my first thought is, I don't believe in large scale accidents of this magnitude. Did it start out natural? Yes. Were there people who then aided to in the arson? For sure. Would they be caught? Probably not. It was just my thought. But let's be reasonable.
Let's be reasonable. Let's be reasonable. I mean, you know, it's one of these things that it also raises the question of like, you know, like Miami, for instance, right?
Yep.
At some point in time, Star Island is probably going to be underwater. At some point.
For sure. For sure.
But in the meantime, living on the water is, it means more than the threat of global warming or flood, whatever. Doesn't have disaster, obviously, because real estate prices keep going up. So I think another aspect is to say, okay, well, at what point does there's a risk reward ratio for even living in certain areas of the world, right? Do you think from an economic financial standpoint that that would ever be taken into consideration where people would say, okay, I'm not going to live here because of this, as far as not just one person, but like majority of people, because these places are desirable places.
Yes.
So like coastlines, right? Like coastlines are desirable places because they're on the water, but they're also dangerous places because a hurricane can happen or, mm-hmm. you know, global warming and the sea levels are rising and all of these different things, right? And living in dry areas could be beneficial from a standpoint of, okay, it's nice weather, you know, it's beautiful views, it doesn't rain a lot, but mm-hmm. that's also kind of harmful from a standpoint that you have mudslides, you have fires, you have earthquakes. California's, I mean, if you think about it, earthquakes, mudslides, fires,
yep.
It's the only thing they don't have is like tornadoes, right? Yeah. And hurricanes. Yeah. So do you
will
think
people stop moving?
Yeah.
I think at some point, especially once again, back to following the money, when all you have, I know no State Farm got the brunt of the blame, but I think it was what, 12 or 13 companies that decided that these areas for them had too much risk and would cause some of them to fold. So they stopped insuring them. So if I know prices in Miami have went up, Orlando have went up, Tampa for flood insurance. Even where I go to in Mexico, the hurricanes there are getting stronger. It used to be, oh, mild hurricane lasts for 2 days. Now, a lot of people that I know in the part of Mexico that I go to are evacuating for a week at a time when the hurricanes hit. But my nefarious brain says, if these are areas that are worth the most, maybe induce the insurance companies to not cover them so that we can then potentially buy them back for cheaper.
Would you buy a home with no insurance? Like, there's places that are not having insurance, whether it's Florida, whether it's in California.
Insurance is tricky enough. For anyone who's had to make an insurance claim, it's tough to get 100% value of anything that you pay for, even if you pay your premiums on time. It's tough. So no insurance and be forced to build back on hard money loan or to liquidate savings or equities. I couldn't do it. The risk is not worth it.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers. Watch it work.